Now for our last sermon of the year, let's turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Now we especially will be looking at the first 31 verses. So let's turn to Psalm 107. We read the whole psalm. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that man will praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that man will praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he had broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they drew near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, this see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, and which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves therefore are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that man will praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exhort him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are diminished, and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it, and rejoice. and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Now I call your attention to this psalm especially because this is the last Lord's Day of the year. Now many of us, I'm sure, want to put the year behind us, because this has not been a very good year. It has been a year devastated with problems, sometimes problems beyond our control. And as we come to the close of the year, we do not want to see the same tragedies again. But as we look back, we sigh. We sigh because there are frustrations, there are tragedies, and lives were lost. But then I must say to you that there's no point sighing. That is not the Christian life. Rather, this morning, I want you to praise God. I want you to sing to Him. And this is what this psalm does. This psalm does here in this written word of God. The key verse here in this psalm is in verse 2 and 3. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He had redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. Here the psalm tells us that there are many diverse problems and troubles in life. But here the psalmist does not sigh. Yes, there are frustrations, but he sings. There are troubles, but yet he praises God. The key to understand this, to understand this psalm is in verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, that the Lord has redeemed us from the hands of the enemies, from all our troubles. Troubles that come from the north and from the south, from the east and from the west. Now to emphasize this beautiful truth, the psalm looks at four different situations in life. In verse 4, he talks about a man wandering in the wilderness. Then in verse 11, he talks about a prisoner in a dungeon. Then in verse 17, he speaks about a fool who is lying on his deathbed. And then finally in verse 23, he speaks about a trader, a merchant, who is on his journey to make a new business. And they all face troubles. But yet in all these situations, the Lord redeems His church and His people. So I call your attention to this psalm under the theme, redeem out of all distresses. You will find many times repeated in this psalm, these words, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Repeated four times. And I want you to look at that word that is used in the scriptures here. Not just one distress, but the Lord has saved us out of all distresses. And I think this is a very appropriate psalm for the closing of the year. We had many distresses. Global distresses, local distresses, wars, pestilences, some families afflicted with death and pain. And even as we speak, they continue to find many who are dead, buried beneath the earth in Iran. 20,000 souls lost in a single earthquake. Tragedies, troubles, disasters. The good Lord delivers us out of all this. So let me first of all give you the four pictures of salvation. The first picture is that of a traveler lost in the wilderness. Verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, they found no city to dwell in. Here the text speaks of the church in the wilderness. And to explain their confusion and their lostness, the psalmist speaks of a picture of a man wandering in the wilderness. Now, it is of course quite terrible to be lost in a city, but it is even more terrible to be lost in the wilderness. This man here in verse 4 is lost in the wilderness. Now, if he has been lost in the city, it wouldn't be too bad, because in the city, at least you are able to find a place to rest. There are lodging places, or you can find a restaurant to have some food and to rest for the night. But this man is lost, not in the city, but in the wilderness. There is no guest house. There is no restaurant. There is no one man that he can turn to ask for directions. He is lost in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, what he sees very often as a pool that can quench his thirst is only a mirage. And then in the wilderness, there is no network that he can make connections with another person. There is no communication. He is lost. And then there are no footprints on the sand that at least give him some clue that there is a proper path that he can walk so that he can find direction. And then there are no paths that travelers have been to before that he can walk, at least with confidence. And then the trees do not talk. He has no one to speak with. In the wilderness, he is lost. So he is lonely, confused. And when he very soon finds that there is no city to dwell in, no view of the city in sight, as the text says, he begins to panic. He becomes nervous. He becomes frightened. Because not only is he hungry and thirsty, but then he must very quickly find a place where he can rest and revive his body. Now, the Bible uses this to explain our lostness in life. We are lost when we are without God. We are lost when we are without Christ. The text says the church in the Old Testament was for a time wandering in the wilderness. They found no city to dwell in. Homeless, lonely, lost, and especially in need of rest. Now, what is this a picture of? This is a picture of what sin has done to humanity. Sin has ruined paradise and made this creation into a wilderness. Sin has destroyed and ruined everything that God has made, so that sin makes this world to look like a wilderness. A sinner who is without God is lost. He sees no future, he sees no direction, his life has no meaning and purpose, and he cannot find rest, because his soul is constantly plagued by the problem of sin. And this is what life is like without God. Useless, barren. Useless and barren. Because sin has stripped away everything that God has done. God has given to us righteousness and holiness and true knowledge. And sin has stripped that away, so that we cannot know God, we have no sense of God, we are lost. And the eternal happiness that we see at the end of the tunnel is only a mirage. Not real, only an appearance, only a mirage. It is fake. And at the end of our life, when we think that that is what we have done with our entire life, it disappears. It brings us no true eternity. life without God is lost. A person in such a situation needs a guide. The man in verse 4 needs someone to stand with him, to take him to a place where he can safely rest. The man in verse 4 needs a guide. The church needs a guide. And you need a guide. The second picture is in verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Now, have you visited a prison? In my ministry, I have visited the prison several times. It is a place of maximum security. The walls are very high, and every entry has solid iron grills and gates. Now, the psalm here speaks in this second picture of a person who is confined in prison. He is bound. He is chained. He is in a place of solitary confinement. He is alone. And even when he is put in a cell with others, others are still strangers to him. He is very much alone. Now, for some prisoners, prison is the place where they will be executed. It is a place for them to end their lives. Frightening, dark, deserted. Now, the psalm here sees in this prison a person who is chained and he has lost his freedom. He is bound. He has no interaction with the world outside. He is here being imprisoned. He has lost his life and freedom. Now, when I was in Myanmar, I talked to someone before in the past few years of someone who has been put into prison. In fact, I was there when the officers came to arrest him. He was doing some illegal trading business, and the officers came and then took him and put him in prison. Now, of course, the prisons in Myanmar are known for the notorious treatment that the guards give to the prisoners. Brutal, cruel, dirty. And when the family knew that the son was arrested, very quickly, they tried to bribe the officers, give them as much money as possible to release the son. Did not help. The son was in prison for almost a good 6 months. I was there when the family was trying to work out all possible solutions to bring the son out of prison, but there wasn't any way, and the officers did not budge, even though they gave bribes. But finally, the son was released. And then after some time, I went back to Myanmar. I met the same person. He was very different. Not that his life was changed because he went to prison, but his life was entirely traumatized. He was in a daze, confused, lost. He has lost his confidence. He doesn't know how to interact. He's quite a different person because he was traumatized. It took a long time before he recovered. And at least this time when I met him, he was more like in his normal self. Now, this is the picture that the Bible gives to us. Without God, depending on ourselves, not relying on His grace, we are like a person who is imprisoned, put behind bars, down under the dungeon, in a darkened world. Now, what is this a picture of? This is a picture, again, of what sin does to us. Sin takes away our freedom in God. Sin binds us with its corrupting power. And a person in such a condition wants to break free from the power of sin. And to do this, he needs a deliverer, a powerful savior who can intervene in that situation and then break open the prison doors and break down the chains and give him freedom so that he can breathe and he can lift again. Now, the Bible uses this to picture the church when the church is given freedom. Now, the third picture of distress is in verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. They are so abhorrent all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Now, this third picture takes us to a sick man. The sick man here is called a fool. Now, he is called a fool because he has spoilt his life with self-indulgence. And because of that, now he is lying on the deathbed, struggling to survive. Now, we are not told what he did with his life, but the word fool at least suggests to us that he has denied God or put away God. And then he has lived his own life full of sins and pleasure. We are not sure about what that sin is, but there are many sins that can spoil our body. For example, drunkenness. In Myanmar, we met a family with 12 children, and the father died because of excessive drinking. And then I met a mother, and with her 6-year-old child, they died because of HIV contamination, which they got from their promiscuous husband and father. Certain sin spoils and ruins our body. And so here is a fool lying on bed, dying. And this again is a picture of sin. Sin is called here a disease. It affects our soul with all kinds of sinful desires and motives. And the virus of sin does not hibernate in our soul. It's always active. Sometimes it is not as powerful as it should be to bring out all kinds of evils from us, but sometimes it does. But it never hibernates. Sin is very much alive, very much active. And it always brings us to an ultimate end, and that end is death. Now, a person in such a condition needs a great physician, one who can come with a medication to bring healing to the body and to the soul and to his sicknesses. And the final picture of distress is in verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. The last picture here is that of a very enterprising businessman. He is a trader, and now he is on his way overseas to make business, to trade his merchandise. Then suddenly, the Lord causes a very strong storm to overturn or to threaten the ship. Suddenly, his life is threatened. Maybe being a businessman that travels to overseas very often, he must have assumed that things are normal as usual. And that is how usually we take life for granted. We fly in and out of the country, nothing will happen. But then suddenly the Lord causes a stormy wind to come. And to blow upon the ship and to rock the sea, and now his life is threatened, and now he needs security. He panics. Now he knows that life is short, and now he knows that money and business is not everything. So this too is a picture of sin. What sin does to our lives. Sin overturns our lives, takes away our peace, brings into our lives all kinds of stress, all kinds of anxieties. It fills our hearts with discontent so that we are never happy in any situation. And then sin fills our hearts with rage and with anger, and it squeezes our hearts so tight that it beats only with revenge and with hatred. This is a picture of sin. What sin does to our lives, to our body, to our soul, makes us lose control of ourselves so that we lose that peace that God gives to us, and then we become so angry and envious and covetous, and then we cannot live a happy, balanced, joyful Christian life. What does this person need? Person in this situation needs someone to come to still his life, to remove the storms, and then to be able to bring again peace. Four pictures of distresses. But these are only pictures. The main lesson in this psalm is that God comes to redeem us from all our distresses. The first man was lost. The second man was bound. The third man was sick and dying. The fourth man was in fear. Every one of them is in need of salvation. And the one who came to rescue them from all their distresses is God. Now, I want you now to see from this passage how God saves them from all their distresses. In the first case, God gave to all the lost wanderers rest and fed them and gave them water to quench their thirst and their lives. Verse 9, for God satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And this is what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to give rest and peace. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now, how has the year been to you? Are you lost? Were you confused? Perhaps some of you here this morning need God to give you rest. You have been stressed by worries, stressed by anxieties. Perhaps you have been setting your mind on earthly things, and because of that you are so confused. You do not know what the will of God for you is. You cannot see what is ahead. You cannot see your future. You cannot discern the will of God for your life. And you need God to take you out of this wilderness, out of this lostness. You need God to take you to the cross, so that again at the cross you may let Jesus Christ to take away your burdens, so that you may come to Him for rest, so that God may satisfy you with His kindness and compassion, and He can flood and fill your life with His goodness. Now, many I know have been lost this past year. Lost because their lives have been shaken by tragedies, and they do not know what to do. But for many of us, and many of you, I see in your lives a certain control, a certain ability to manage your crisis, precisely because you manage those crises with God. Not lost, not dazed, not confused. What you need to do is to bring God to others. There are many who are lost in this wilderness. No direction, no sense of life, no meaning, no purpose. God satisfies the longing soul, fills the hungry with goodness. And this is the God that we confess. Then to the second person, to those within the church that have been wayward, backsliding, who for a moment have been addicted to sin, have been bound by some secret sins in their lives, God is able to bring deliverance, to break the chain, and to give freedom to the sinner. Verse 14, God brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Now the verse explains why they were in the dungeon bound by sin and lost and now without their freedom. It says here that it is because they have not listened to God. Verse 11, because they have rebelled against the words of God and contempt the counsel of the Most High. They have not listened to God. They have rebelled against His word, and now they have allowed sin to take control of their lives, and they have gone wayward. They have backslidden. Now the condition of backsliding is tragic, because the picture here that is used to explain that that tragedy is a man being imprisoned, bound, without freedom. But now God can come to break loose the chains of sin and addiction, and God is able to remove the walls of hatred. God is able to penetrate into the deeper recesses of your heart and cut away the growth of sin. God is able to do that. And perhaps some of you here in this congregation need God to do that. You have maybe allowed God this year, allowed sin this year, to lead you to an addictive lifestyle. You have taken up some new sinful habits which you cannot break loose. And now you become fearful. You have become frightened. And you are so addicted to that sinful habit that when you withdraw, you feel a certain kind of nervousness and trembling. What you need God to do is to let Him break away that sinful addiction. Maybe it is not addiction, but suddenly, because of all the crises that surround us in life, we have become so agitated in life. We become so easily irritable. So that any single thing happens, you become easily irritable. You become angry easily. And you become a very irritating person. And what you need God to do is to break that habit away, or that temperament. Maybe it is lust. Maybe it is covetousness. We have to be very careful in life. The Bible always exhorts us to live a sober and a very alert life. When we are not alert, when you are not sober, then sin comes and easily grip our life and then take control of us. And when that happens, you must turn to God in repentance, and then God will break you free. And in the case of the third man, the person needs healing. Verse 20, God sends His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Here is a picture of man who is sick and dying, and here, of course, it is only a picture. And when we are controlled by sin and we do not seek forgiveness, we continue to become sick and we continue to die. God heals only in one way. God heals by the way of forgiveness. The disease that we all suffer, that is the disease of sin, requires high intensive care. And the intensive care that God gives is forgiveness and forgiveness and forgiveness. And I sometimes marvel at the grace and the patience and the forgiveness of God. Because many times we repeat our sins, and then we sin again and again and again. But God is always long-suffering and patient, and He is always there to give us strong, intensive care. Even when we are wayward and we repeat the sin, God is very near to embrace us and to forgive us when we repent. And when we do say sorry to Him, He comes and heals us with forgiveness. And when He gives us forgiveness, He also wipes away our tears and gives us the strength to repent and never to repeat that sin anymore. And then in the case of the fourth person, God comes to still the storm. Verse 25, for He commanded and raises the stormy wind which lifted up the waves thereof. Verse 30, then are they glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them unto their desired haven. I'm always astonished at how Christ rescued His disciples when they are suddenly in distress. You know what is the first thing that Christ does? Before He stills the storm, very often Christ says to His disciples, fear not, I am with you. You know what Christ is doing? Christ is stilling the storm in their heart before Christ stretches His hands to still the storm that is outside of them. Sometimes the storms outside of our life, they do not go away. They continue. And when we enter the new year, many of the storms that we face this year will continue. And now they just suddenly discover that SARS again is in Guangzhou. It repeats. It mutates. Crisis repeats. But you know what Christ did, children? First, He stills the storm in the heart. We cannot change circumstances. We cannot control what is outside of us. But with the grace of God in our life, we can experience the peace that comes to us in our hearts. And this is the God that we confess. He stands in the midst of trouble. He takes hold of our hearts, and then He fills our hearts with peace. And so He says to us in the midst of troubles, peace, be still. And that's how God saves us from all our distresses. He gives us direction and rest. He breaks us free from the power of sin. And then He gives us healing, especially forgiveness. And then He comes to give us peace. What can we learn from this passage as we prepare to enter into the new year? Briefly, three things. First of all, God saves us in every situation. And I think we need to reaffirm this truth as we enter into the new year this year. Again, I want to say that the year has been full of troubles. Maybe next year, no one knows. But then we need to say again before God this morning that though things are hard and may not be so easy next year, but God definitely will save us from all our troubles. He will. Maybe physically the circumstances will not change, but spiritually He will save us. He will come to give us peace. If not in this life, then better still, peace and rest in heaven. Secondly, we must never lose hope. In the coming year, again, there will be uncertainties. We like to make new plans to make things better, but better things may not always happen. In this fallen world, we have to be very realistic. Failures are common, because this creation is spoiled by sin. And we carry with us the same sinful nature. We fail. But then we must never lose hope. Because God, who saves us from all our distresses, also come with loving kindness to give us hope and assurance. Then finally, we must never depend on our own strength. In all these four situations when the church found that they were in trouble, they cried to God in their distresses. And the Lord saved them out of them all. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And this is what we must do when we face troubles again. We must cry again and again and again. And the Lord does this in order to teach us to depend on Him, so that we surrender ourselves to Him, so that we can confess before the church and the world that this God we confess is mighty to save. And this is how we must begin the new year this year, this week. We must depend on God alone. How has your year been like? Gripped by fear? Lost and confused with no directions? Addicted to something? Flirting with some new desires? Maybe very lost and you find that there is no peace and life is so hopeless because you found tragedies and deaths in your own home? Then God must be your Savior today. And you must trust in Him for tomorrow. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that You save us from all our distresses. And when we are troubled in life by many things, we know that You are with us. You stand in the midst of us to give us peace and to give us salvation. And for this, we rejoice. We pray, giving thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.